teams, our town. 610 Sports Radio. KCSB Kansas City. KRBZ HD2 Kansas City. A radio.com station.
And welcome back. Hour number three, talking Kansas City Chiefs. Talking to Craig Stout, defensive film analyst for Arrowhead Pride. ArrowheadPride.com joins me each and every week. And he talks a little beer with me as well. But Craig Stout joins us now. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how's it going, Bank? How we doing tonight?
What happened defensively against the Raiders? That was the second highest point production for the Raiders this year. It came off a bye week, which is extremely interesting with Andy Reid. Derek Carr actually looked like an NFL quarterback, throwing 285 and three touchdowns, and they ran for 171. What happened?
What happened really was the Chiefs defense just kind of came out and sleepwalked through this game. The Chiefs defense did all the things that I kind of expected them to do, play some soft zones, play downhill, try and keep the short passes that Derek Carr does so often in front of them and try and just limit the yardage for everything. The problem was they didn't tackle well at all at any level. And so guys were able to beat the first guy and pick up another 6, 7, 8 yards of play. That allowed the Raiders to just kind of march down the field very slowly. And then they were able to punch it in the red zone. The Chiefs weren't able to toughen up at the end. So they just kind of didn't come out and execute well at all.
Well, when I look at your story, look at your breakdown on this, you talk about short, medium yardage continued to be a problem for the Chiefs, but they were better than their season average in the first quarter, and then it all kind of went downhill.
Yeah, it did go downhill. Before the bye, the Chiefs had started to trend upwards in quarters 2 through 4. They've always been pretty good in the first quarter. They've had a couple bad performances, obviously, against the Rams most recently. But they've tended to tighten up better in quarters 2, 3, and 4. This week, it reverted back to what we saw early in the season. Specifically, if you think about the Pittsburgh game, where the Chiefs shut out the Steelers in the first quarter and got up 21-0 and then allowed the Steelers to claw back in the game and kind of make it a game all the way to the end. That's kind of what we saw this week. The Chiefs defense was able to shut down the Raiders. It wasn't just the fumbles this week. They actually did get a few stops, but they let them back into the game. They let a bad team hang around instead of being able to ice it early and forcing them to change their game plan.
Now, as far as blitzing the quarterback, you had said a bit of a surprise this week with Sutton blitzing more than he traditionally does against Derek Carr. Found success in the past by rushing 3 and not rushing 5 or more against Carr. Not blitzing at all in the Chiefs' second meeting with the Raiders in 17, you said, a great performance. He found a lot of success sending extra rushers. That particularly didn't work this week.
No, it didn't really work all that well this week. The numbers themselves, the success rate wasn't bad, but they were able to convert a couple of third downs that were pretty crucial in the game off of some Chiefs blitzes. So that was definitely a problem. You know, when Carr is able to get the ball out so quick, he got the ball out on average in 2.1 seconds per throw this week. That is outrageously fast. That's basically catching the ball and immediately throwing it. If you're blitzing guys, those guys aren't going to be able to get home. That's just not enough time to be able to get to the quarterback. So in those instances, it's almost better for a quarterback to get the ball out that fast, to play a little softer and try and keep everything in front of you and mitigate the damage that the throws can do.
Now, Chris Jones, once again, he's got five and a half sacks in the last, 3 games? Yeah, because he had a couple 2-sack performances, but 8 sacks at his position, which doesn't really require a blitz. You know, in a 3-4, you don't typically get the rush from the end like Jones is doing. Are you as surprised as I am that, you know, he's right up there with D-Ford? D-Ford gets a lot of credit because he gets the quarterback, but here's Chris Jones on just a terror that we've rarely seen in Kansas City.
Yeah, no, he's been outstanding, especially lately. He has done so much more damage than even just rushing the passer there. Chris has also struggled with some run defense in the past. He has really shored that up. I actually highlighted one of his plays on the good section of my post of him doing a nice arm over move, making himself skinny, getting through the gap, and being able to track the running back behind the line of scrimmage. We've seen that a lot this year. He's just a monster inside. His bull rush is so strong. He's always had a good bull rush, but that arm over, he has been able to make himself skinny and use his first step to make it so the offensive lineman can't get leverage on him and knock him off balance. And that's giving him so much more success. And that interior rush is so hard to find that you just don't find very many guys in the NFL that can do it successfully. Chris Jones is doing it on a repeated basis. Against other teams other than the Raiders, we're going to see a lot more damage. He should have done a lot more this week, but Carr, like I said, just got the ball out so quick.
What was your opinion on the linebacker play? Obviously, rush defense, you talk about the tackling. Hitchens ended up having 60 snaps in that game. Reggie Ragland, 36 snaps. Dorian O'Daniel continues to see about the same, but 33 snaps for him. Overall, what was your feelings on the linebacker play?
Other than Dorian O'Daniel, those guys just look slow. They look lethargic. And like I said, guys weren't tackling very well, including Dorian O'Daniel, who has had some moments where he looked really good out on the edge. He had a couple tackles that he missed this week that would have stopped and held guys a little bit better. They're poor, and they've been poor all year long. They just really haven't shown any strides, you know, that you would expect by this point, if it was going to click and things were going to start coming together, that we would start seeing those inside linebackers start to make some progress, get a little better here and there. Coming off of the bye, getting healthy, especially with Anthony Hitchens, who had that rib injury, I really expected that maybe we'd see a little different gear out of him this week, and we just didn't at all.
What are we looking at here when you look forward as far as stopping the run? I mean, clearly this is going to be a problem. They've got to learn to stop the run in the postseason because I do feel like teams will run. We still got to play Seattle that leads the NFL in rushing. The Baltimore Ravens, 7th in the NFL in rushing. The Chargers, 10th in the NFL in rushing. And the Chiefs have to play all of these teams.
It's going to be a problem. This week especially, the Ravens run a lot of the pistol, run a lot of wing tee. They're actually pretty fun to watch and to break down. Look for that at the end of the week. I do a post every week, an advanced scouting of the opposition's offense. I'm really looking forward to covering them just because they're a fun offense. But they don't throw the ball particularly well. So the Chiefs can rotate another guy down in the box. Maybe that's Eric Berry this week. We'll see as the week goes along. But if they can rotate another guy down in the box against the Ravens, they might be able to slow down that rushing attack. The two problems on the schedule that, in my mind, are the biggest ones are, like you said, Seattle and the Chargers. Both of those teams can have a very potent passing game set up off of their play-action run. The Chiefs have been really poor against that, so I think we'll see a lot more of what we saw in the first Chargers game, where the Chargers are going to have a lot of success with the run, and if they stick with it, those games are both going to be close.
Talking to Craig Stout at Barleyhop on Twitter, Chiefs defensive analyst, arrowheadpride.com, and let's look at this week's opponent, because I'm talking to a guy from Baltimore, does their post-game a little bit later tonight. Talked to another one yesterday. Lamar Jackson has not thrown out staggering passing numbers. He is moving this team, and he's able to have the league's best defense behind him. So we didn't need to go out and outscore, you know, teams by 20 points, and he keeps it kind of close. But to me, the challenge for the Chiefs will be keeping him in the pocket, because if he gets outside of it, he could make that 3rd and 3 a first down. So frustrating. You get him stopped on 1st and 2nd. And then he extends the drive with his legs. Can the Chiefs contain without over-pursuing like we've seen D Ford do in the past? Can they keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket?
And see, I think the way that you're going to have to play Lamar Jackson is going to be through a series of scrape exchanges, maybe a spy, maybe have Dorian O'Daniel come in as just specifically a quarterback spy. A scrape exchange, Dee Ford in that instance would actually attack downwards towards the running back on most of these plays. It's an effective way to guard against the zone read. So Dee Ford can use his lateral speed to destroy the run inside while you have one of the linebackers, and again, preferably Dorian O'Daniel, because he has the speed to keep up with Lamar Jackson. If Lamar is able to get outside of the pocket and work from that, then you've got O'Daniel against Jackson in the flats. You're going to make him have to slow up, and hopefully you can get some pursuit defenders to try and help defend Lamar Jackson. In the passing game, though, that's where it's really going to be difficult. The Chiefs allow a lot of running lanes when they rush. They don't necessarily play a lot of contain inside. That's part of what Chris Jones brings to you, is some aggression and ability to get to the quarterback, but he's going to leave gaps, running lanes behind him. Same with Dee Ford. So off of that side of the line, we're going to have to make sure that there is a linebacker that is focused on shifting to that side to sort of corral and contain Lamar Jackson, force him to throw the ball. He's not been accurate, like, at all, especially when he's moving out of the pocket. So they really need to focus on keeping a linebacker opposite him at all times.
Yeah, looking forward to this matchup. Looking forward to seeing what the Chiefs can do against Lamar Jackson. Looking forward to seeing Mahomes against the league's best defense. As far as the AFC contenders, I'd be honest with you, Craig. I've never been as high on the Chargers as everybody else because they find a way to charger. And they didn't find a way to charger against Pittsburgh. The way they came back and beat that team, okay, I take a notice. Chiefs have beat them 9 straight times, I get it, which is cool because the Chiefs play the AFC West teams at home. They played on the road the first time around. They play them here. When you look at some of these AFC West teams, is there one or two that you look, who could pose the biggest problem to the Chiefs in the postseason? Defensively.
Defensively.
Their offense against our defense, yeah.
Right. The Chargers really are a team to be scared of. Keenan Allen is somehow still one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL. He's easily a top 5 receiver, and he doesn't get talked about it nearly enough. He's a guy that will constantly do damage against this team. If Melvin Gordon is healthy, the Chiefs struggle to tackle as it is. The Chiefs struggle even more, it seems like, to tackle Melvin Gordon. They can feed him the ball 30 times, and that is huge, huge, huge danger for this Chiefs team. Now, the caveat with all this is if the game is at home, Phillip Rivers on the road in the winter is not very good. Ben Roethlisberger on the road, not very good. I think those two are the two teams that are likely to see maybe in an early round there. So I think those would be the two teams that you have to be worried about facing. Both of them on the road in Arrowhead, I'm not as worried about, but I'd probably go with the Chargers. Like you said, I expected them to lose that Pittsburgh game, and the fact that they were able to come back and pull it out really showed me something. They raised an eyebrow there.
Well, yeah, these first two games, you look at the schedule and you think, okay, you're playing your Chargers, everybody's picking them, and then you have to go across the United States to Pittsburgh in week two. I mean, the Chiefs went unscathed, 2-0 in those games. That could have really set the tempo for the team this year, and they passed it with flying colors. Craig also is a beer maker as well. Any beers this week that you would recommend, Craig?
Beers this week that I would recommend. If you haven't had it, Avery Hog Heaven Imperial Red IPA. It's one of my favorites.
It's good beer. I had Apex Aleworks in here from Independence last Friday, and you would like their beer because they stick with the traditional styles. Like, they don't get real creative with it, but it's a solid brewery in Independence.
Hey,
I've got a list for you, bro.
If you can make a staple beer, that's fantastic. Hey, you make a good staple beer, you will be around forever.
I've got a list for you when you get here, man. I got a list. We'll have some fun.
Yeah.
We'll go drink some beer.
Craig, all right, man. That sounds good.
Craig Stout at Barley Hop on Twitter, arrowheadpride.com. Also does a podcast, AP Laboratory with Kent Swanson. and Matt Lane as well. Craig Stout joining us now. Thanks a lot, Craig.
Thanks, Bink.
There you go, Craig Stout right there. Does a great job for ArrowheadPride.com breaking down that defense. We talked to Kent Swanson, who does a three-part series each week on Patrick Mahomes. Well, Sir Kendrick West is the newest chief, and he's always in a good mood. He spoke in the locker room today, and Pete Sweeney was there for 610 Sports Radio. We'll do that next. Chiefs could have gone C.J. Anderson, or they could have gone Sir Kendrick West. Anderson's with the Raiders. Chiefs went Sir Kendrick West because of what he can do on special teams. Now, the Chiefs' unofficial depth chart has Sir Kendrick listed as number four. I'm still waiting to see Daryl Williams. Daryl Williams made this team. I think we're going to be surprised by Daryl Williams. Played at LSU. Better yards per carry than Darius Geis. Sat behind Leonard Fournette. Sat behind Geis. Made the Chiefs roster. Was active last week. I'm actually looking forward to seeing Daryl Williams because you never know what you're going to get from these guys. I mean, how many times do we see guys that weren't even drafted or drafted in the late rounds be good? And I know the Chiefs will be looking for a running back probably in the draft this year. You know, Daryl Henderson out of Memphis, Montgomery at Iowa State. I do think Veach did not plan to be drafting a running back and just be fine with the Daryl Williams, Damien Williams, you know, kind of backing up Kareem Hunt, but they're in a different situation. Well, Sir Kendrick West worked out with 10 different teams this year. Finally, the Jets signed him after the Chiefs cut him, and then they released him right on September 1st. But Sir Kendrick West is a good locker room guy. He's a fun guy that a lot of the guys respect and like. Pete Sweeney was in the locker room today, which you haven't heard this yet. Sir Kendrick West talked to the media today. Here it is.
How you doing, Sir Kendrick? You good?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed.
How's it feel to be back?
Oh, it's a blessing, man. Like I said, to be back with my Chiefs family, it's crazy to be standing here talking to you guys right now. Never thought I would be here again.
Never thought. It was never a thought.
I mean, it was a dream, but like I said, never, not this year. I didn't think I'd be back this year. So, I mean, it's a blessing in disguise.
We saw through the wire. You had a couple workouts. Just going through them and then them not working out. Just what are the challenges mentally, just staying in shape when you're
Oh, man, just keep working. Like I say, football, and I don't always work out because I think I'm in. So I'm going to do that, but, man, it was hard to just keep working out, and not getting the results that I wanted, but I've been through worse things in life than people telling me no, and I can't do this and do that. So, I mean, I'm still standing here, so it's just motivation to me.
Would you call this location the best-case scenario for you in your mind?
Oh, yeah. I mean, home is always the best-case scenario in my head.
Sir Kendrick, what's the difference between being in shape and being in game shape? What shape? What do you have to do?
It's a lot of – I mean, obviously, no, I'm not in game shape. I haven't played in a game this year, so I mean, it's going to take some time to work with that. But as far as physical, I mean, I'm here. I'm in shape. I'm always being in shape.
What has this reception been like in this locker room for you?
Oh, man, it's like I said, it's like coming home. Like I went on a little vacation, coming back to all my brothers. Chiefs Kingdom, period. The way everybody welcomed me back, it's truly an honor.
How quickly did you hear from the Chiefs after everything happened Friday? Did you hear from them Friday night? Or?
I mean, it took some time. I mean, they had things to work through, y'all. I mean, but when I got that call, I mean, it was a blessing to see a 913-816 number calling my phone.
So you've been following every week on TV?
Oh, yeah, man. This is my family, man. Of course, I watch and cheer these guys on. I mean, I tell them good game, congrats. I mean, you can see on Twitter sometimes I get into it, so people talking about them. But this is my family. It's always going to be family.
What do you think of this offense?
I mean, turn on the TV, you can tell you everything you need to know. I mean, it's beyond explosive. I mean, the sky is really the limit.
Did you see this coming in camp, that it was going to be this good this fast?
I mean, we always knew it was going to be good, like, but history like this, nah, I can honestly say I didn't.
It seemed like you missed so much time in training camp that from a business standpoint, you didn't get a fair shot because of the concussion. Yeah. How difficult was it to know that you didn't get sort of the acclimation you wanted going into the year and then obviously having to be cut?
I mean, it's football. I mean, you go out there, it's a risk every place. I mean, that kind of comes with the game. I mean, if it wasn't for injuries, I probably wouldn't be standing here, I mean, in the position that I'm in. So, I mean, that's the game. But as life, I took my bullet and kept going.
Tell us what it's like when you're sitting there watching this offense do what it's been doing this year.
I mean, like I said, it's the best. I mean, it's never been any hate because, I mean, all these guys, I really love them genuinely. I mean, football or not, we're going to always be friends. I'm always calling to check on them. So, but to see them having so much success, it's crazy. And to be back, to be a part of it, Like I told him, I said, man, thank y'all. We 10-2 now. I thank y'all for all the hard work. I thank y'all for all the hard work, but I'm back now. So,
What do you do for work? What have you been doing for workouts? Can you take us through a day of the last couple of weeks? How you try to do it?
When I get up, I take my dogs. I spend a little time with them, and then I go on a jog, man. I just take off running, run. So I can't run no more. Then I go to the weight room. I go back, check on my dogs again, then I go back, do some more running. And that's been my day. I mean, I haven't had much to do but work out.
So you run like your Forrest Gump, you're all over the country.
I'm telling you, I'm trying to get a movie going, Forrest Gump 2.
Where were you living and working?
Living in Dallas, downtown in Dallas.
And then just seeing Travis and Cam, I know you were very close to those. Just what was the moment of hanging out
and
seeing them?
Like I say, it's not, I talk to those guys every day, but to see them, man, like I tell them, it's crazy for us to be sitting here back in this locker room a year, the same year that I got cut, and to be back here with so much success. I mean, the situation that I walked in is crazy. I mean, to be on a team this good that has a high chance of winning the Super Bowl, to be somewhere that I started, and it's like a dream. It's like my, I say every day I want to write a book, and it's just keep adding more pages, man, because it's a crazy situation to me.
You've seen what Spencer's had to go through to get healthy again, to see him get this opportunity. What makes him ready?
Man, Spencer makes him ready. I mean, the guy came back from an injury like that, and he's a starting running back in the National Football League. I mean, a lot of people, like I say, wiped him off the map of the earth because of an injury, but he worked hard. He had guys, I mean, a great training staff, a great team, a great support system, and now he's back starting. So, I mean, another wonderful story to never give up.
How can you contribute to this team? What's your goal to bring to them?
Man, anything they need me to. If it's a smile, if it's a touchdown, a first down, a kickoff return, a kickoff, I'm just happy to be here.
As somebody who knows these guys in this offense, what do you think this offense
is going to look like with Spencer? I mean, this offense has had Spencer before. I mean, as a lead guy, and it was going pretty good. Like I said, with Coach Reed, man, and this coaching staff, the sky's the limit because they know how to use our skill sets. I mean, we all don't do the same things. We all know that, but he do a good job at putting us in the right position.
Sir, can you come on? I know you were talking about being in regular shape, but could you play this weekend? Do you feel?
I can play right now if you're ready.
You can play right now?
Yeah.
How long does it take to build that up?
Everybody's different. I mean, I can't really gauge that one for you. I mean, if I had to play tomorrow, I could play. If I had to play Sunday, I'd play, but the coaches want to take their time, we can do that too. I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm happy to be here.
When it comes to you and Spencer, is there something that you think Andy can unlock that maybe other coaches can't? Does he know you guys better?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, he had us from, well, he had me from when I first came in, and Spence, I'm pretty sure he looked at, but we've been here for years now. He know what we do good, he know what we don't do good. So, I mean, he put us in those positions, he put plays around us so we can make plays and be successful.
There you go, Sir Kendrick West, back in the Chiefs. I don't know how much action he's going to get this week. I wouldn't expect much. I mean, the guy's been sitting around. He's probably been training, probably been doing a lot of things, but I don't know how much. But he is a fun-loving dude, and it's always good to hear from Sir Kendrick West. Coming up next, I had a conversation with Pete Gilbert. He does Baltimore Ravens postgame, WBAL-TV and radio in Baltimore, and we'll break down the Baltimore Ravens with him next.
Big at Night.
And we'll come back. We'll talk to Pete Gilbert of WBAL TV and radio in California. I told you about him. He's out in Baltimore. I was going to take your call, Reggie, but I can't pull you up. I don't know what's going on. But we'll talk to Pete Gilbert, WBAL in Baltimore now, and break down this Ravens game. Joining us now from Baltimore, Pete Gilbert, WBAL TV, WBAL radio sportscaster as well, including Ravens postgame. And Pete, it's been a few years since we were able to chat. It was Kansas City and Baltimore there in baseball for a while, and I know that's probably the last time we talked.
Yeah, I think it was. It seems like, you know, decades ago. It really was only 4 years. Yeah, but boy, the fortunes have changed for the baseball teams, no doubt about that. And hopefully, I wish a speedy recovery to both. Point that out.
Well, we'll see what happens there. But one thing here is the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens are an interesting team. This year, they start off so hot, then they kind of went into the doldrums there, but the defense is still outstanding. And now the one difference is a guy that I liked is the second quarterback in the draft this year. I'll be honest with you on the show. I liked Baker Mayfield 1, and I liked Lamar Jackson 2. Thoughts on Lamar and the way he's been playing lately?
It's been fascinating to watch this evolvement because, you know, he shows up at OTAs and we're watching him you know, running, you know, obviously the highlights that we saw from Louisville were so spectacular, but, you know, those were just the highlights. What's it going to be like every, you know, play in and play out? And it was pretty rocky. And even just the adjusting to the NFL ball, he was throwing ducks left and right, and we're kind of looking around at each other like, when he takes off and runs, that's great, but other than that, you know, can he really be a quarterback in the NFL? What has really evolved then through from that point and then through the preseason when he played a ton to now having three starts is just doing the mechanics, the actual play-by-play mechanics of being a quarterback, of getting the play from the sideline, getting it called, getting everybody lined up. There have been very few procedural issues. He has done a great job in just doing some of the little things that you have to do to be successful. Getting guys lined up in the right place, not getting delay of game penalties, not, you know, those kinds of things. Where actually they might even be better right now than they were under Joe Flacco, which is pretty remarkable because Joe, when it was 11th year, I think it's because he's just focused so greatly on that. And he's not doing a lot of audibles. He said he has done some, but by and large, it's get the play in, get the, you know, get everybody lined up, get it called, and then run it. And what has been interesting to watch then, once the plays take off, he's become a very good runner in that he's not taking a ton of big hits. I mean, an accidental freak hit last week when he got kicked in the head by his own lineman, Ronnie Stanley. But otherwise, he's doing a better job at getting down, getting to the outside and getting out of bounds, and not taking the huge hits. But they've just changed, with him at the helm, they've made the offense go from one of the most pass-heavy in the league to the most run-heavy. And I think teams are really struggling to adjust to it.
And you always can't have your quarterback run. I know when I see Mahomes run, you get a little nervous. Was the Chiefs leading rusher last week? Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt in Kansas City because he went to run, and it ended his season. So those things can happen. But Lamar Jackson was such a fascinating player at Louisville. I actually thought the season after he won the Heisman was actually, you know, better than the year that he won the Heisman. You know, 3,000 and 1,000 in two straight years, which is unbelievable. But Joe Flacco is practicing. Baltimore, have they committed to a quarterback this week, or is it still, you know, everybody thinks, okay, it's going to be Lamar Jackson? Have they told Joe Flacco he's not starting this week?
I don't know if they told Joe that. They have not told anybody publicly exactly what they're going to do. What was clear, again, from practice is watching that Lamar is taking the first team reps, RG3 is taking the second, and Joe continues to take third. So my guess is it's another week of Joe coming back. The problem with a hip injury, it's just such, I mean, your whole stability depends on having good hips. And, you know, if that's not 100% back, he's not a runner anyway, but he can't avoid anything in the pocket if you don't have that standard, that structural base. So they're taking their time with Joe, and I expect that this week, again, it will be Lamar running the show. Possible they say, you know what, Joe, let's have you active and not have RG3 active, and you know be the backup, more of an emergency situation. And again, RG3 had to come in for a series last week because Lamar was kicked in the head and briefly into concussion protocol and came back in the next series and was actually a little bit better. But I still think this week will be the Lamar show. It'll be the week after that when the Ravens return home to face Tampa Bay that I think that will be the first time you really have Joe's healthy. Who's going to be your quarterback? He was the starter, John Harbaugh. Who is it now? My guess is if the Ravens somehow find a way to beat Kansas City, there's no way you can go back to Flacco. That would be four consecutive wins, and one of them would be the most impressive of really anybody this season to go into Arrowhead and get a win there. But if Lamar plays terribly this week, I think it gives John cover to say, okay, well, no, Joe's been our starter all along. We're just waiting for him to be healthy. So, and, you know, then they can sprinkle in Lamar's package of running the read option. And so that's when I think the real decision will come to a head, not this week, but next.
Talking to Pete Gilbert, WBAL in Baltimore. What was the dynamic like when he comes in? Because you always hear stories about, you know, maybe how Tom Brady treated Jimmy G and Favre and Rodgers. And we know how that deal went. And I'm not sure that with Mason Rudolph and Big Ben, it was as open as that. But, you know, Alex Smith was great to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, here was a guy that was coming to take his job, and I give him a lot of credit. You know, he welcomed Patrick in. He would have him over for dinner and all this, but that doesn't always happen with quarterbacks that are drafted to take something over. Was the dynamic with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson, has it always been cool? Was it a little icy at first? Did it have to grow into it? What's that relationship been like?
I don't know that icy is the right word. I think professional would be the better way. I mean, I don't think Joe's going out of his way to, you know, teach Aaron to think of every little thing. Well, how can I help Lamar do better at this? I don't think that's what he's doing. He certainly has been helpful. And then, you know, in the quarterback room when they're all sitting there going over play, yeah, they're all talking about what they're seeing. And Joe, far, you know, far and away the most experienced, what he sees, why he's seeing it. But the offenses are so different that they're running that there is a little bit of point, not how much Joe can help. What's he going to tell Lamar about running a read option or a triple option? There's nothing. And so it's different in that regard. And the thing is that you can't help but avoid Lamar Jackson is one of the most likable people you are going to meet. He is energetic. He is fun-loving, friendly. Just a delightful person to be around. And Joe's a nice guy, too. So in that regard, it's fine. I mean, I don't think they're not hanging out after practice. You're not having them over for dinner. But it's certainly not a cold or even cool relationship.
Pete, when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously an interesting week here. You take a superstar off the team and release him. And let me tell you something, that just sent shockwaves around Kansas City. We knew something bad was going to happen, but they send this thing out at like 8 o'clock at night Friday. And, you know, they release Kareem Hunt. I mean, that was a big part of the Chiefs and a big part of their offense, which, to be honest with you, it does affect them. I don't care what anybody says. Not having Kareem Hunt does affect Kansas City. But what's your overall thoughts on guys like Patrick Mahomes and what he's doing? Is the NFL needed a young gun like this in the league?
Yeah, it's let's see. I think it was Jimmy Smith today, a cornerback for the Ravens, who said when asked about Mahomes, said, yeah, he's Brett Favre but can move better. You know, and so I think that's certainly he plays with that same kind of fun-loving recklessness, maybe willing to take chances. Reckless may not be the right word, but certainly someone who is willing to take chances, absolute and 100% confidence and belief in his own abilities to make whatever play needs to be made. And he's been so much fun to watch. I can't wait to watch him again this week because he's just. He feels like a unique talent in terms of the arm talent that he possesses, combined with the ability to move and get outside the pocket, is and the creativity. When he threw a ball left-handed at Denver, I fell out of my couch. I mean, that was preposterous to watch him do that. And he's been just. I mean, I can't believe. And it felt like you go back to the draft. People either loved Pat Mahomes or they didn't like him. And there was really no middle ground. I confess, I didn't like him. I looked at him and I saw kind of a wild, just the way he played, even his whole throwing mechanics. The arm was kind of a wild Randall Cunningham, arm motion. I thought, there's no way he's going to be consistent throwing the ball. And obviously, I couldn't be any more wrong, and I'm, happy to say that that was. He seems like a really nice kid, and, certainly wish the best for him. And I will say, if there's any team that is capable of handling losing a star player on the side of the ball, it's the Chiefs, who have as many big playmakers, game breakers, as anyone in the NFL. And sure, the running game is not going to be what it was, but the short passing game will take care of the running game. And when you've got Travis Kelce, who, by the way, the Ravens have, I believe, allowed a touchdown to a tight end in five of the last six games.
They have not allowed
one. Ways to make up for it.
So you're saying they've not allowed one? Five of the last six?
No, they have allowed
a
passing touchdown to a tight end in five of the last six games.
Well, it'll be interesting.
So Kelce, they have not covered tight ends well, is the point.
Well, it'll be fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to it because it's a challenge from Mahomes against a very good defense. That's one thing Baltimore
does. It is.
I think it's one of the most intriguing matchups in the NFL to see what Mahomes can do. Can the Chiefs, keep this up, scoring 37 points a game against the team that leads the NFL in the fewest points allowed? I mean, that to me is a nice matchup.
Yeah, it's one-on-one. And I go back to the Week 7 for the Ravens when they hosted the Saints and kept Drew Brees to 7 points through three-plus quarters. And then he got things going a little bit. And part of it was because you could tell he had worn them down and getting those 7 points. While they didn't get not a lot of points, but there was some long drives, some fourth-down conversions. The defense was tired. Well, that's the biggest difference right now is the time of possessions. The last couple of weeks, the Ravens have been about 40 minutes to 20. The defense has been completely refreshed. And that's why, even though they haven't scored as many points as they did under Joe Flacco offensively, the fact that the defense is so much fresher, each of the last 2 weeks, the defense has scored a touchdown. I don't think that's a coincidence. And so they're hoping, the Ravens are looking to see more long, sustaining, minute-sustaining drives, and then let their defense go hunt.
Well, Pete, imagine this. Imagine being the Buffalo Bills and passing on Mahomes and Watson.
Well, I mean, you could say, just imagine living in Buffalo. You know, any you'd imagine Buffalo in almost any different kind of derogatory manner, and that would be fine. But yeah, it's but you know, we sit here and we in Baltimore, and you look at the Ravens a year ago passing up Juju Smith-Schuster, considering how badly they need wide receivers. The draft's Tyus Bowser out of Houston, who has made virtually no impact in 2 years as an outside linebacker. And you just bang your head against the wall on that one. So, you know, every team's kind of got one of those. But certainly a quarterback, yeah, that's the it's more glaring because it is clearly the most important position not in football but in sports.
It's funny you bring up Juju Smith-Schuster because the Chiefs did the same thing. They took an outside linebacker from Villanova that's barely seen the field in 2 years. And they could add you.
How did nobody see this guy being a star? It's amazing how they spend their entire lives becoming scouts, and they spend 20 hours a day poring over film and going to practices and working guys out, and still they miss egregiously. It's amazing.
Yeah, we talk about that one too. That was always kind of fun. Pete Gilbert, man, it's been great catching up with you. WBAL. In Baltimore. Look forward to the game Sunday, Pete. And don't be a stranger. Enjoy talking to you today.
Likewise. Happy to come on anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Pete Gilbert, WBAL in Baltimore. Jimmy Smith had some interesting things to say about the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a corner from the Baltimore Ravens.
Arrowhead Pride Tailgate, Sunday at 10 on 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you, night. Huge thanks to Ben Albert producing the operation. Been busy. Pete Gilbert, Baltimore, WBAL in Baltimore, joined us. We talked to Gary Pinkel in our weekly conversation. Craig Stout, defensive film analyst, arrowheadpride.com. Talked to Tom Martin. We talked to a lot of different people tonight about a lot of different stuff. I found this from baltimoreravens.com. And Jimmy Smith had a lot of his quotes being tweeted out today from the Ravens. Now, this is not anti-Chiefs like we've seen from Jalen Ramsey and talking junk on the Kansas City Chiefs, but this is about Jimmy Smith. This team has allowed tight end touchdowns in 5 of the last 6 games. And obviously, Travis Kelce, who are Charch, Paul Charchian, that joins 610 Sports Radio throughout the week, fanball.com, has Travis Kelce as his number one tight end option in fantasy football, which he should. But this was Jimmy Smith talking about trying to slow down the Kansas City Chiefs offense, and some really high praise for Patrick Mahomes. It even makes a comparison to a former NFL great.
We talk about with Travis Kelce being more of almost more of a wide receiver than a tight end. Would someone like you, height-wise, would you think maybe following him around, would that be something you guys would like, treat him like that, that wide receiver?
It's interesting. I didn't think about that. I don't know. Maybe our coaches might think of something like that. That'd be something for them to really look at.
Gene, what did it mean to you to get the game ball after the game last week?
That was my first game ball, so it was great. And like I told you a minute ago, to go against Julio one-on-one was fun. But that game ball really goes to everybody in the defense. I mean, there's no way we're shutting that team down, just me by myself, obviously. It was a collection of Marlon, the safeties, Tavon, Brandon, our D-line was getting after Matt Ryan. So, that game ball goes to the defense.
Where do you put it? In your house?
Oh, it's going to go right next to my Super Bowl ball. And the one ball I got when I beat Megatron, that ball too.
Jimmy, how much confidence does it give this defensive unit heading into the Chiefs, this high-powered offense, knowing what you guys did against Matt Ryan and the Falcons and the way you did it?
I mean, last week is last week. Matt Ryan is a great quarterback, MVP. This guy's a little bit different, a lot different. Gunslinger, he's very confident, throws the ball anywhere, has a very strong arm. So, two different teams, two different quarterbacks. Obviously, their weapons are different. Even though Atlanta has tremendous weapons, Kansas City has different weapons, and they utilize them differently.
Jimmy, the big storyline this week, of course, is going to be, you know, best against the best, you know, top defense against top offense. How does, as players playing in this game, do you kind of get into the hype of the matchup?
Nah. I mean, not at this point. It's I mean, this is the second time we've had something like that. I think when we played New Orleans, it was the same type of thing, but, you know, we kick ourselves in the butt about that game still. But no, I think just going forward, it's playoff time. It's December. It's playoff. So when you go against a team like this, it's a real test to see if you can beat them in the playoffs, because that's the team that's, you know, they're looking like they're the team that's going to go. So, you know, it's going to be that type of challenge.
When you get your first live look at a young offensive star like Mahomes, is there a fun anticipation to that, or is that kind of out the window at this point in the season?
It's kind of out the window. Every game is fun to play when you're winning. But, you know, we're just looking at him like a young Brett Favre, but a little bit more athletic. You know, like, he can really, really sling the ball.
Jimmy, you guys run zero blitzes more than a lot of teams. Do you like that as a cornerback when you know you're kind of all alone?
Yeah, it's one-on-ones all day. That's what we do.
What's the mindset of the secondary, knowing just how good Mahomes is at throwing the ball outside the pocket? What's the mindset of the secondary, knowing just how good Mahomes is at making plays outside the pocket?
Well, luckily here we face a guy, Big Ben, that is probably the king of extending plays. So we have a lot of practice and playing that second play, you know. And Antonio Brown's one of the best at jumping out of his route immediately. So, I mean, they got guys like that. And, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes can do all the things that Big Ben does when he extends plays. So we're very aware of what they're capable of doing like that.
Jimmy, a month ago you guys were sitting at 4-5, you've now won 3 straight. What do you think is the biggest factor that's allowed you to turn it around and put yourselves right back in the mix of the playoff conversation?
I think it's just 1 week, taking it 1 week at a time. Obviously our backs have been to the walls, and, you know, I think that's it's kind of made us a little bit sharper, knowing every game could be, you know, could be a toss-up, or, you know, it could put us out the playoff race necessarily. So, you know, I think going forward, just, you know, stay focused on what we got to do each week and take one game at a time.
Jimmy Smith of the Baltimore Ravens, and you heard what he said.
You know, we're just looking at him like a young Brett Favre, but a little bit more athletic. You know, like,
more athletic,
he can really,
Brett
really sling the ball.
Jimmy Smith. Let's go out to Anaheim now and talk to Reggie. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, man. Good to get a hold of you, bro.
You too, man.
Yes, sir. I had a couple of really quick, running back questions for you as it pertains to our upcoming match with the Ravens. One, at the running back position, do you think that with a week of preparation to integrate Spencer Ware into the offense, that we'll kind of see the running game kind of get back to what we, you know, to a little bit to what it was looking like when Kareem Hunt was here? Because I think we kind of forget, man, that Spencer Ware was technically our bell cow running back when Alex Smith was here. And then, you know, then he got hurt. So it's not as if Spencer Ware is incapable of being a true number one running back. And then the second question is, should the Chiefs maybe be looking at Daryl Williams as that next guy? Because
yes,
I went back and watched his college tape, and I went back and watched his preseason tape, man. To me, he looks the most like Kareem Hunt because he can pick his way through trash. He's got good power. He catches the ball fairly well out the backfield. And I think he has that burst that you need to run those zone stretch plays where it looked like Spencer Ware was running like he had a pencil in between his butt cheeks where he couldn't get to the outside, man. So I think Daryl might be the guy. All right,
hey,
I listen off here, man.
Man, Reggie, thanks for the call. Man, I'm big Daryl Williams guy. When they signed him as an undrafted free agent, it's like, man, this guy, go look at, go do this for me. Go to Google and do Daryl Williams college stats reference page, and then look up Darius Geis. More yards per carry than Darius Geis. And I'll say this, can they get the ground game going? Well, last week was the second best productive game rushing as a team-wise for the Chiefs they've had all year, except you had way too many yards rushing by Pat Mahomes. You don't want to see Pat Mahomes run the football as much as he did against the Raiders because you don't want to risk injury with him. Now, will they get it going against Baltimore? I don't know. Baltimore with the third best team in the NFL at stopping the run. They only give up 3.8 yards per carry. It is tough to run on them. Now, if that secondary, which is good as well, second best pass defense in the NFL, again, this defense is good and they only allow 17 points a game. Chiefs average 20 more points a game than what the Ravens give up. So, yes, I'm excited looking for the matchup. Can they get the running game going like it was? It's going to take some while. Spencer Ware has been used so sparingly this year. Now, I do think that Patrick Mahomes, with the passing game, does open up running lanes. But, yes, Darrell Williams is a guy that I'd like to see run for the Kansas City Chiefs more. Will we get that chance? I don't know. Sharkandrick West is in here for depth. He's in here if someone gets hurt because I think they trust Damien Williams, who they have as the number two running back on the depth chart now, more than they actually have Darrell Williams as the number three running back on the roster right now and Sharkandrick West four. But I think it's going to take a while to get Sharkandrick West acclimated. Now, he'll probably contribute more to special teams than he will actually running the football. But we'll see. Baltimore's very good against the run. So we'll see how this transpires. But a lot of Ravens, a lot of Chiefs talk tonight. Once again, huge thanks to Ben Alpert, producing the operation.